Federal Chief Technology Officer Megan Smith is looking for a few good geeks. She's fixing to hire people for digital services offices popping up across the government. Smith describes the type of people needed in a simple way, TQ. So what is that person? What is that? Well, Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now to explain Smith's TQ formula. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Before we get to the TQ, though, just give us a quick background on why she's hiring because there is a digital services group now.
Correct. Now, she's not hiring personally. What she's doing is saying throughout the entire government, agencies need to be hiring these types of people. And this is something we reported on, I guess, about a week or so ago as part of the IT passback language. OMB says, Herbert Hoover said a chicken in every pot. Well, OMB is saying a digital services group in every agency.
Okay.
So that's the starting point. Those are the types of people that she's going to help agencies find.
All right. So what type of person can be labeled TQ, and what is TQ?
TQ, right. So we've heard of IQ, right, Tom? And
yes,
we
indeed.
May have heard of EQ, emotional quotient. This is technical quotient. So this is somebody who has a specific set of skills needed to meet the demands and expectations of citizens and businesses when it comes to digital services. Smith says, listen, during times of war, the U.S. is very good about bringing in TQ people. But in peacetime, agencies too often get away from it.
What we really need to do is have technical people at the table. So United States Digital Service, the 18F team, the Presidential Innovation Fellows, which are like White House fellows who are technical, who do design thinking and front end and back end, embedding them in government. That's not to say that government should build everything. That would be not good. We should have our amazing off-the-shelf products from tech, hosted products. We should have things that we contract for, custom. But there needs to be a person in the room who speaks that language. You don't want to go to a meeting in a foreign language and rely on the other side's interpreter. You just don't really, you won't be confident in what you know, and bad things can happen. And in this case, we want to have a TQ people, technical people, in the conversation on our side when we're doing contracting and work, or someone helping architect solutions who's thinking about customer service.
Now, Smith spoke yesterday at the State of the Net conference sponsored by the Internet Education Foundation, a nonprofit here in Washington. Smith says people with a high TQ are important because the government and industry alike are really in what she calls the early stages of digital services. In fact, she said it feels like, if you remember, Tom, the late 1990s, 1996, 1998, when the Internet was really taking off, and you had all these people who were developing websites and understood how the web plays in. She feels like that's where we're now with digital services. Now, at the same time, however, she feels that federal websites and mobile services need to be just as good as those offered by big companies, Amazon, Twitter, or any of the other technology leaders in the U.S. Now, the idea is part of the reason, again, why OMB is calling for every agency to set up their own digital services team. Again, as we broke the news last week, OMB gave agencies an October 1st deadline to set up this new digital services organization and spend a percentage of their IT budget on staff, or in Megan Smith's words, people with TQ.
All right. So, Jason, how do Smith and the White House think they can attract and find these people? You don't want to walk in there with your Motorola Razr flip phone. Might not be too good for the job there.
Well, I think I have one of those, Tom. Don't make fun of my Motorola Razr flip phone. I think the hiring of people is a huge, huge problem, because I've heard from several CIOs when this OMB initiative, I first reported on it, that was a big concern. Can we all find the right people? Are there enough people even out there? Because listen, industry, who, let's be honest, can pay a lot more than the government, also is looking for these same people. There's a limited number, I think, of TQs out there. So I asked Smith about that issue, as well as the concern that sometimes federal employees are quite knowledgeable, quite skillful, and this administration has gotten the reputation of kind of overlooking federal employees when it comes to having the skills to meet their IT challenges.
The people in government can train for those jobs. There's these fabulous code boot camps and other things that exist that allow people. You know, I think when the VA Digital Service was looking at their internal team, I think they had some number, maybe 13,000, 14,000 developers and only 3 new JavaScript. I mean, how unfair is that for that team to not be trained at those elite things? So leveraging these code boot camps and stuff so that the talent inside a government can be at the same talent level as colleagues in the commercial markets and actually flow between. Like, some people will work for government for their whole life, but most people are going to go work in the private sector and then come to government and then maybe do some nonprofit things. That's a great America that moves around.
Now, there's also some other options. Another option could be similar to what the U.S. Digital Services team is doing at OMB. It's utilizing an approach that is, I'll call it, somewhat similar to Army Reserves. The USDS does bring people in from the private sector for maybe a few months. They call it a sabbatical from their current company. And then they go back to their company after 3, 4, 5 months. And then they're kind of on staff. Hey, we need some help on this. Or, hey, we need some advice on that. And they call them up. And if their current position allows it, they can return for a day or two or a week or just be kind of available by phone. So that's maybe another option for agencies, a quote-unquote reserves. Now, Smith says these experts also are going to help government create services more quickly and less expensively than ever before. And I think that's key because they realize that it can't take a year to put up a mobile app. It's got to take days or you know, a week or so. In some cases, this idea, this concept is already happening. Tom, we've talked a lot about the Digital Services Group, but there's also GSA's 18F, HHS's Idea Lab, OPM has an innovation lab out there. Smith says these types of organizations really are the model for the government of the future.
There are extraordinary people in government and outside of government who have innovative ideas. And so there hasn't always been a place. And one of the things that's certainly something that the tech industries have done forever, that's where the word skunkworks, you know, comes from, with the early digital equipment team and others, having a lab or a place where you can play and creating a review system that works within the agency. One of the tricks of making something like that is to make it big enough that it exists, so you have some budget and some people, and you get almost like entrepreneurs in residence who are coming from within or without and putting skills together and working on pilots and prototypes and doing things, you know, in Silicon Valley we call it minimum viable product. Make something that people can get a feel for what you're talking about. But you also don't want to over-resource it. If you keep it at the right resource size, then you can kind of IPO it through the team.
Now, you heard Smith say IPO it through the team. She's not talking about, you know, the stock market. You know, what we know IPO stands for initial public offering.
Right.
It's more about getting people to invest, if you will, invest their time, their resources, the buy-in to the technology, to the program. Obviously, there's no money exchange in hands like you'd buy stock in a company. We want to be clear about that. I think she's just using that IPO as a verb now. I think, you know, Tom, I think you're the one who hates, you know, turning nouns into verbs, right?
Well, it's not something I try to do often.
Well, Smith says that USAID is another example of an agency that's out there that's actually expanding this concept of an innovation lab. They're bringing in actually outside experts, mainly from universities and academia, to help with the development of certain engineering projects, mobile apps to deliver better services on an international scale. So, Tom, what I think we're seeing is these digital services hubs, these innovation centers across government popping up in small, you know, here and there. And I think what Smith is saying and OMB is telling agencies to do is look for these special kind of people and start developing these organizations.
Well, there are a lot of them out there, that's for sure. And it's not just JavaScript that you need to know. I mean, there's probably 15 languages, but we can get into that some other time. Now, Jason, we're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Smith has been CTO for, what, about 4 months now. What else is she doing?
Right. I think her time has been short, but she really laid out her set of three main priorities. Now, digital services is a big priority, and within digital services is, of course, open data, a longtime Obama administration priority as well. Smith, however, was actually more specific of what we've heard from maybe previous CTOs when it comes to open data. She's really pushing open source and open APIs, application programming interfaces. She says the government needs to move from, this was a great line, move from RFPs to APIs. Basically, instead of just buying the software, take existing software APIs and improve upon them and add to them. So I think that's a concept to maybe keep an eye out for. Her other two priorities focus on technology policy and making innovation easier and promoting Americans as they focus on STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, and finding opportunities for Americans, everyday Americans, businesses to be more innovative. Let's start with the policy to make innovation easier. I think that's something we've heard quite a lot about recently, Tom. Innovation, we got to be more innovative. Smith says that's part of her job is to be part instigator and part architect.
A piece of that includes an area that we've been looking at, regulation reform. And how do we, sometimes we think about this area, how do we help with getting out of the way of America's top innovators and yet protect the American people? So how are we being the best place in the world, the best country for innovation and technology so that the strongest entrepreneurs, the strongest inventors and scientists are coming here because we have a climate and a policy landscape for them to really do their thing? Sometimes I think, you know, Henry Ford was not trying to disrupt horses. You know, he was just had a new idea. So how do we help those people do their things? Well, we're still learning and protecting the American people, dealing with privacy and all the things that we need to do to be the great nation.
Now, Smith says the policy, getting the policy right is important because it unlocks so much other opportunity. But at the same time, you got to protect the public. And especially as we see privacy and security continually come to the forefront of many of the IT challenges. And in fact, Tom, speaking of the intersection of policy and regulation, just yesterday at the State of the Net conference, a little bit of an aside of news, the Federal Trade Commission released its Internet of Things report. IoT, Internet of Things, as it's called, refers to really non-traditional items that are now connected to the web. Watches, cars, refrigerators, toasters even. The FTC says the Internet of Things universe is expanding quickly. Over 25 billion connected devices are in use worldwide, and that number is only expected to increase as more companies, auto manufacturers, healthcare providers continue to invest in connected devices. The report outlines best practices, security, privacy, transparency, and I think so all those issues, as you're thinking of this concept of the Internet of Things, what do you need to consider? We do have a link to that full report on federalnewsradio.com so people can read it for themselves. Going back to Megan Smith for a second, her third area is around STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, and connecting people so they can be more innovative. Again, that word again. She says the more people doing things innovatively will help solve problems faster, and that's why she wants to bring people together through stuff like tech meetups or startup weekends.
To me, it's like the great American meetup needs to happen. Like, we need to barn raise this country. Somebody has a door over here and a this over there, and they're not talking to each other. And yet they're right there hiding in plain sight. And in Silicon Valley, you could get off of a plane, and you literally would, like, walk anywhere in Silicon Valley and say, I'd like to have a startup. I'd like to join a startup. Everyone would help you. People pouring out of coffee shops and driving around, texting, everyone would help you. But in many of our cities, that innovation team is there. There's people doing startups, there are people with makerspaces, there's TEDx's, there's like the Burning Man equivalent. Like in Boise, Idaho, there was this thing called Hackfort, which is just like South by Southwest, you know, and it's on campus. This is happening all over our country, but it's hiding on the rest of the Americans. And so we need them to, we need to bridge that together. And I think that, that as we begin to do that, the American people will do the thing they've always done, which is kind of lead us into the future.
Smith says the goal is to try to get people coding or into other STEM-related activities, build confidence, build their interest in those skills, and only, you know, the country will only benefit from kind of moving people in that direction. Obviously, it's a lofty goal, but you know, she sits in the White House, right? She's the CTO of the country. She's allowed to have those.
And she certainly sounds like an energetic young lady.
Oh, absolutely. She was a very engaging speaker, and you know, we got a chance to meet her afterwards and do a brief interview. And you know, the words that she just flowed, it was very impressive.
And she has done some impressive work at Google, I guess, is where she hails from before coming to the administration.
Correct. That's her background. She came in September from after spending I think the last 7 or so years at Google, if my memory is correct, but she's a very impressive person. She says that she told a story about she grew up in Buffalo, and she got into STEM because there's a science fair at her school, and all of a sudden she was successful at the science fair and said, hey, this is pretty cool. And then boom, here she is, you know, 30 years later, and she's the CTO of the country.
All right, well, good for her. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. We thank you for that report.
Always my pleasure.